The Dowries Green Hydrogen Village is Africa's first 100% net zero green community, with a broader mandate to showcase the sustainable production of green hydrogen and ammonia from renewable resources. Located in the heart of the Erongo region is Namibia's largest constituency that houses the Dowries Green Hydrogen Village. The project demonstrates green hydrogen applications, pilot a green hydrogen economy with export potential for hydrogen derivatives, while creating research opportunities for local and international students. Now, this project will produce Namibia's first carbon-free agriculture. Subsequent phases will spear the village to house over 2,000 residents and generate over 1 gigawatts of clean energy and produce over 350,000 tons of green ammonia. And the project, which is still in its pilot phase, aims to realize a multifaceted development that is among the first of its sort in Africa and is located in one of Namibia's most isolated places while remaining off-grid. Now, public trust and confidence are critical in economic building, especially in novel sectors such as these that require public and policy buy-in. And to ensure that the public confidence and curiosity cultivated in this novel sector remain and we don't regress, we have engaged Jerome Namasep, who is the CEO of the Dowries Green Hydrogen Village, on the progress that was made thus far, the transparency, and of course how the inaccurate reporting has affected the financing of the project, and also just what lies ahead for the project. And this is how that interview went. Okay, Jerome, can you briefly update us regarding the financing of the Dowries Green Hydrogen Village project and its progress thus far?
Hi, thank you very much for having me, and thank you for the question. The Dowries Green Hydrogen Village is an innovative project which is set in the Erongo region. Mm. The project right now is poised to be Africa's first 100% net zero green community, and it has a mandate to demonstrate sustainable production methods of green hydrogen and green ammonia from renewable energy sources. The project is in its pilot phase, and it aims to realize a multifaceted development that would be the first among its sort in Africa. And it is located in one of the more isolated places in Namibia. The project should be launched in Q1 2025. And we'll be producing about 18 tons of hydrogen and 100 tons of green ammonia, as well as carbon-free agriculture. And for those wondering, why are we tying in all of these subject points? It's because today, 80% of all ammonia produced globally is used for the production of synthetic fertilizers. And it's, you know, common reading and has been shown to prove that without the production of synthetic fertilizers, the world will not be able to meet its fertilizer demand and subsequently its food production requirements to support this growing population. Mm. So through this project, we are able to address not only the purpose of, you know, green hydrogen and green ammonia, but also we are able to produce some agricultural components, and in the longer term, potentially as well, produce fertilizer, which would be the first synthetic fertilizer produced end-to-end in Namibia. Mm. I think what's imperative to note is that the project to date has been 100% funded by the German Ministry for Research and Education. This is the BMBF, a ministry within the German government. And publicly available information shared through the media has provided a comprehensive update wherein we have reached about 95% completion. We are in the process of commencing installation for our hydrogen and ammonia generating equipment, which has been procured and delivered to site. And also quite recently, we were pleased to host His Excellency, Dr. Nangolo Mbumba, on site for the inauguration of our agricultural facility, which is a component in this project. We're also very pleased to have, about 2 weeks ago, have donated about 40,000 seedlings to the Erongo Regional Council and the governor's office. And this was, of course, distributed among the region. And, of course, also this weekend, we will be commencing with some community engagement in the Dowries constituency, namely on Machete, Okombas, Biscope, and Wies, when we will be sharing more information on the project with the community, but also at the same time, handing out some of these seedlings as well to support some of the local agricultural efforts in the surrounding community and constituency.
Hmm. Okay, now I understand that this is a very important project, and given its importance, what is the risk of mismanagement reports that are emanating now, especially in getting investors and the general public to buy in this novel?
Okay. So I think I should start off by saying we have released a press statement in relation to recent articles that we've seen in the media. We are aware some of the utterances or some of what has been said and also was said in, you know, political settings. But it is important for us to address and manage instances such as this. So for us, you know, the inaccuracy in reporting, and on the back of that, the creation of a potential perception of mismanagement are significant risks that do have far-reaching consequences, especially in a nascent industry, right, which is innovative and has not been done before.
Mm.
You know, a field such as green hydrogen industry in Namibia. I mean, when you've seen some of the efforts that have gone into, or the time that has gone into establishing other types of industries within Namibia, I think the green hydrogen industry has done well to get out of the blocks as quickly as possible, even though it is still a nascent industry. You know, such reports result in eroded confidence in either a specific project or the industry as a whole. And it can have adverse effects and are counterintuitive to what the Namibian nation is really trying to achieve, which is the realization of employment opportunity, as well as the realization of further industrialization within Namibia.
Mm.
You know, the green hydrogen industry being relatively new already requires, you know, a leap of faith for the investors that are actively participating in some of these projects. And, you know, introducing doubts within, you know, an industry which, by all intents and purposes, we should support as Namibians, because it should result in further opportunities for our fellow citizens, you know, can hamper these efforts.
Yeah.
You know, the general public does play a vital role in the acceptance of an industry such as this and its integration into our broader or wider economy. And, you know, public support is driven by trust. So inaccuracy in the reporting does and can lead to general distrust. So it's important that, you know, all participants ensure, you know, transparency as well as, you know, regular communication with key stakeholders to help mitigate, you know, some of these adverse impacts should they occur.
Mm.
And this is why we are, you know, busy with and frequently do conduct, you know, some community engagement sessions.
Yeah. Now you mentioned inaccuracy in reporting. Can we say that the reporting has probably done any damage to the financing of the project?
So, despite the challenges posed by inaccurate or negative reporting, we've remained resilient and unaffected. I think this is primarily due to some of the proactive engagement strategies that we implement with our key stakeholders, funders, and broader community.
Mm.
You know, by maintaining some of these lines of communication and regular updating of the investors or key stakeholders on project process, you know, it assists in fostering an environment of trust and transparency. Continuous dialogue does ensure that stakeholders are well informed and confident in the project's trajectory.
Mm. Okay, now let's not just focus on the negative aspect. So let us go back to the progress being made at the village. Are we producing any green vegetables, ammonia, fertilizers, or anything in that regard?
Apologies. Okay. So at present, as I mentioned, we've inaugurated our agricultural facility. All right. So maybe just a bit of detail on what we actually do have on site. So as I mentioned, we intend to demonstrate this nexus between green hydrogen, green ammonia, and agriculture. The agricultural component has been completed at a quicker pace than the generation of hydrogen and green ammonia. But with respect to the agri facilities that we do have on site, we boast a butterfly fixed vent greenhouse, which is about a hectare in size and can produce about 500 tons of agri produce, as well as a nursery, which can produce, you know, up close to about 140,000 seedlings on a monthly basis. We have started the planting process in both of these facilities. As mentioned, we've already conducted some CSR and drought support assistance with respect to seedlings through the Irongo Regional Council. So that has been the first out of the blocks. With respect to green hydrogen and green ammonia, I can repeat that, you know, our equipment has been delivered and is on site. We are awaiting the arrival of the OEM, which is the original equipment manufacturer, and their arrival will then signal the beginning of the next step in the process, which will be a period of installation and commissioning. And of course, on the back of this production of ammonia, we intend to realize the production of fertilizer. And although fertilizer is not a component which was funded in the first tranche of funding received by this project, the Direct Green Hydrogen Village is undergoing, you know, significant efforts to try and ascertain or source or raise, rather, additional sources of funding which will assist in the realization of local fertilizer production. And that would be through the production of ammonium sulfate fertilizer. So we hopefully will be in a position to announce positive developments in this respect in due course. In addition to this, I do just want to add that the facility does boast a training center and a laboratory, and we are engaging with multiple role players around the realization of vocational training programs in this agricultural and green hydrogen, green ammonia space to assist with, you know, the local capacity building initiatives required for Namibia to, you know, achieve its desired ambitions in the green hydrogen and green industrialization space.
Okay, now I'm looking at the complexity of developing the pilot. How was it in terms of getting the right skill set for the project?
So we're very pleased that throughout the lifetime of this project, we've accorded significant opportunities for Namibians to participate throughout this. So to date, the project has provided about 376 employment opportunities for Namibians. The project has been conducted with about 95% Namibian staff. We've also managed to make use of 23 SMEs, of which 7 were sourced from the Bowers constituency throughout the construction process of the project, when we reserved about a 30% of the project's construction contractual value for you know, components to be conducted by SMEs. So with respect to the construction space, and you know, because of, you know, Namibia's, you know, position as being, you know, I would like to say a mature market in terms of, you know, the construction industry, which is really well capacitated and can participate in these opportunities, I think, you know, that process has gone seamlessly. Of course, because of, you know, the community involvement in this project and that aspect, we've ensured to source labor specifically from the Dar es constituency. So of those 376 people, 115 of those were sourced from the Dar es constituency. And of course, you know, when you start to put requirements such as these onto some of your, you know, EPC contractors, it can, of course, period in time where you may experience one or two delays. And of course, you know, through this usage of some of this labor, which may not really or previously participate in opportunities like this, we have experienced some delays in terms of construction, but we have been able to absorb them, and we do anticipate launching the facility in Q1 2025. As I've mentioned, all the construction on site is now complete. So on the back of that, so this construction process, it's been seamless. But of course, as you see, the Namibian government is going through its efforts of and has gone through the effort of, you know, providing for you know, scholarships for Namibian students to obtain training opportunities in Germany. There are efforts on the go to further capacitate the labor market locally with Namibians adequately trained and skilled to participate in the industry. So what I would envisage is that although there's a big requirement on us to provide for skilled labor, efforts are underway for that. And the construction of this pilot, we've been able to manage and, you know, make just of the opportunity that's been accorded to the United Village.
Okay, now, Jerome, this whole green hydrogen sector has unlocked a newfound curiosity within the youth. And as a young person myself, I am also interested, and I would just like to know, how has this project, you know, involved the youth?
Okay. I, myself, I am Namibian youth as well.
Yes.
So I welcome youth participation far and wide. In fact, the team that we use at the Darius Green Hydrogen Village is predominantly youth. And I think we're very proud of that. I think through this project, it's important for us to show as young Namibians that we are capable and we are, and we do have the capacity. We just need to be afforded opportunity, you know, to participate in spaces like this. So through this project, we've taken those intentional steps because we are cognizant of, you know, the greater socioeconomic issues that we do have in Namibia and what's required from all of us as Namibians to try and, you know, solve for and provide for opportunities in this space. What I'd also encourage Namibians is, and especially young Namibians, is to try and lead far and wide with respect to the industry, with respect to developments. You know, this can assist in helping identify opportunities because, you know, there are significant opportunities in this space. This is, you know, a point in time where, and, you know, one of my colleagues likes to say, we are at the point in time where, the, you know, the developed and developing nations are all embarking on a journey together at the same time. We're all learning things together at the same time. And through this, it creates, you know, opportunity for ingenuity and, you know, for the identification of, you know, opportunities downstream in this space for the provision of, you know, potential participation. But it will require work, you know. Unfortunately, it will not be as such where, you know, the opportunities will most likely, and, you know, the identification of opportunities and spin-off opportunities in these sectors will most likely be identified by those who are willing to put in the time and effort.
Yeah. Okay, now, how many jobs has the project created thus far, and in financial terms, how has its contributions, you know, impacted the economy?
Okay, so 376 jobs throughout construction, 115 of those that from the Darius constituency. Contractual value of our construction, of the construction process, 30% of that contractual value was reserved for SMEs. So I'm not at liberty to fully disclose what that total contractual value was, but the project to date has been funded to the value of about 12 million euro, which give or take, depending on, you know, the time at which you know, considering change exchange rate fluctuation, has resulted in at least, I'd say at a minimum, a component of about 50 to 60% being spent locally throughout, you know, the lifetime of this project. And this is to local suppliers, local service providers, local consultants, and so forth. So in essence, you know, the money or the funding should trickle down through the economy. And that's why it's so important for Namibia as a nation to continue to be successful in its efforts to raise, you know, foreign direct investment from FDIs.
Mm. Okay, now, what is the project's role in local value chain addition, or in what ways will the project contribute rather towards the local value chain?
Okay. So the local market is, of course, extremely important. But I think the one thing we should always just be cognizant of is, you know, the natural forces of economics, you know, will always, you know, dictate some terms. So with respect to ourselves and our project, as I mentioned, we intend to produce demonstration fertilizer, which would be hopefully in the works towards the end of next year or early for the year thereafter in 2026. And furthermore, this fertilizer would be looked at as being used within the Namibian markets, because now we start to produce a tangible good, which is relatable to Namibians.
Mm.
But of course, for the mega project, unfortunately, the level of demand required to realize some of them is not necessarily within Namibia's borders, because we do not have a functioning, a very large industrial-based industry, you know, sector. So on the back of that, a lot of the consumption with respect to, you know, hydrogen and ammonia will have to cater for export markets. But there are projects today that are looking at domestic markets.
Yeah.
So, for example, a project such as ourselves, where we talk about the fertilizer. You've got, you know, additional projects which are looking at local use cases and local utilization, which are currently being developed in this imagined space. So there is opportunity for local consumption. But I mean, just like with many other industries, oil and gas as an example, not all of that oil will be consumed locally.
Mm.
The real benefits to the fiscus are going to be realized from achieving and accessing export markets.
Mm. Okay, now, you mentioned that fertilizer is quite crucial, and our import data for October shows that we imported around 4.5 million worth of fertilizer in October this year. And at the same time, there is opportunities also to export a regional. So how is the pilot project process in ammonia nitrate or sulfate?
Okay. So the demonstration fertilizer facility, which we intend to realize, will be producing ammonium sulfate.
Mm.
It should cater for about 20 at demonstration scale, because ammonium sulfate is not the most popular or common fertilizer locally. But our demonstration fertilizer facility should cater for between anywhere between 15 to 30% of what we found as being the recorded import data. And then, of course, in the longer term, we'd hope to realize an ammonium nitrate facility that could produce anywhere in excess of about 120,000 tons of ammonium nitrate fertilizer per annum. And, you know, again, why we should, you know, be striving for the realization of opportunities like this is because, you know, it's Namibian dollars that are being spent to import this fertilizer. And this is funding that then leaves our shores. Whereas if we are able to produce more and more of these goods locally, we can see instances whereby this money can circulate further within the Namibian economy. And that will, of course, also assist in the realization of, you know, further jobs and job growth in the job market.
Mm. Okay, now Daurus also has emphasis on agriculture. So far, which horticultural products have been tried and at what stage, perhaps?
Yes, so we've planted seedlings for a variety of products. So varieties of peppers, eggplant varieties of tomatoes have already been planted. And these have formed some of the products that have been donated. And then, of course, within the greenhouse, we've commenced with the planting of tomatoes, and we will be also proceeding with the planting of varieties of peppers as well as cucumbers. And this would be some of these products And then, of course, as we go through the process of building the capacity internally around the optimal management of the system, we will look to diversify to higher yielding products, which agricultural products, which, you know, there are demands for.
Okay, now, Jerome, just how many local jobs is the project expected to produce next year?
Could you just repeat that question?
How many local jobs is the project expected to produce within next year?
Okay, so we're entering into operations. So operations will consist of anywhere between 30 to 40 jobs on site. But of course, you know, at the other end of the spectrum, if we are to realize large-scale industrial production, the project could, at any point in time, produce anywhere between, or allow for anywhere between 750 to 1,000 jobs.
Yes. And how far is the project with the locally grown tomatoes?
So as I mentioned, so we've planted already about 5,700 plants. We anticipate that these will that we will be able to harvest these in mid to late January, and that would then represent the first local harvest of produce out of the Darrow Skinadian Village facility.
Okay, and just lastly, Jerome, before I let you go, in terms of the fertilizer for export, will this fertilizer be exported, and what is the anticipated financial value of these exports?
Okay. So thank you. I think that's a good question. As I mentioned, at demonstration scale, we'll be looking towards local utilization of the product and the produce, and that would be at demonstration scale. But with respect to when you start to look at industrial scale, you have to be cognizant of, you know, the overall business case, the financial requirements required, and the market required to realize said financial investment. And the likelihood is that we would have to look at exporting some of this fertilizer, which is produced at industrial scale, to make the business case work. But the benefit of, you know, this production of fertilizer is that on the back of it, we are able to reduce some of our dependency on imports, which have in previous instances negatively impacted our local farmers. And that this is particularly on the back of the war being realized, you know, between the Russia and Ukraine, where we've seen spikes in fertilizer prices that our local farmers are exposed to.
Okay, and has the dowry also settled on a price at which they will sell the fertilizer, as this, you know, was still being previously finalized?
No. That is all still subject to business cases. That is all subject to business casing and subject to financial modeling and so forth. We do not have a price point at present. The inputs and the costs required to keep the facility functional but also endure the capex will be the largest determinant in one, realizing if the development can go ahead, and then two, at what price.
Okay, Jerome, thank you so much for coming through and for being here. That was very, very insightful.
No, thank you very much. And I look forward to our next engagement.
Awesome. Just to sum up what Jerome has said, he, of course, emphasized on transparency, because transparency is indeed essential, particularly when it comes to gaining the trust of investors and stakeholders in projects such as the Dowry's Green Hydrogen Village. And as you can imagine, with a project like this, there are strict reporting requirements and standards. And these include the monthly reporting, the expense breakdowns, and verification processes. And these are done, of course, by the implementing authority. And as a result, the project and projects such as these do have a high threshold with respect to transparency as well as accountability. And the Dowra's Green Hydrogen Village, of course, takes this responsibility very seriously and have implemented several measures to ensure that their financial reporting and operations are transparent and accountable. And just like Jerome mentioned, of course, that includes the regular financial reporting, external audits, investor communications, governance and oversight, ethical practices, as well as the stakeholder engagement. Because by incorporating these practices, the Dowra's Green Hydrogen Village has now remained resilient and unaffected, despite all the challenges that it has faced with inaccurate reporting. And furthermore, in regards to if Namibia can develop green hydrogen and its derivatives commercially, from Jerome's conversation, I think we can all, of course, understand or take away that we are definitely closer than we were when the government started this whole journey. And all the initial results he highlighted basically indicate that the product can be produced competitively on site at the Dowra's Green Hydrogen Village as well as in Namibia. And additionally, it is, of course, imperative to note that the Dowra's project has been funded 100% by the BMBF, a ministry within the German government. And this is publicly available information which has been shared through the media. And Jerome also remarked on the successful construction of the pilot phase, which is practically complete, and the agriculture facility has been inaugurated by the president, His Excellency Dr. Bumba. And in addition to all this, the equipment required for the production of green hydrogen and green ammonia has been procured and has been delivered, and installation is to commence in due course. And just to summarize, I think we can all understand from this conversation that Namibia is uniquely positioned to produce green hydrogen competitively, thanks to, of course, the abundant renewable energy resources and expensive land availability, and as well as the ambitious governmental support. The country now enjoys some of the highest solar radiation levels in the world, coupled with significant wind resources, providing an ideal foundation for cost-effective and large-scale renewable energy production. And just before we close off, furthermore, the partnerships with international investors, producers, and technology providers, of course, enhance Namibia's capability to scale production efficiently. By leveraging this strength, Namibia is poised to emerge as a key player in the global green hydrogen market. That is, of course, by contributing significantly to the transition toward a sustainable energy future. And I think that is what we can. Those are just some of the takeaways from Jerome's conversation that he had here regarding the, of course, Dowra's Green Hydrogen Village project, and just what it has done so far, what it continues to do, and where the future may lead this project. He also did touch on some of the challenges that the project has faced thus far and how they, of course, dealt with these challenges and how they grew from them. And then it was also interesting to see him remark on the youth and how the youth has been a part of this project, because this sector of green hydrogen is a sector that is now, you know, raising curiosity within the youth. It's a new sector. It's an opportunity for growth. It's an opportunity for job creation. And it's interesting that it's taking along the young people in this journey. And as it's a new market, it's important that we also educate the youth on these new markets and what they could mean for Namibia. And that is exactly what the Dowra's project has done thus far and continues to do.